Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Sunday, June 21st. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league, kicking things off with the bad news as starting pitcher Jack Leiter was placed on the 15-day IL with ankle posterior impingement. I'd like to say an ankle posterior impingement. Leiter has been pitching through the issue for most of the season, and he worsened it by rolling his ankle back in April, and it's likely contributed to Leiter's struggles throughout this year. It's probably going to be longer than the minimum stay, as the Rangers are going to want to ensure that Leiter comes back at full strength when he returns from this IL stint. Starting pitcher Jose Corniel was recalled from the minors, but we could see Cal Quantrill move from the bullpen to the rotation to replace Leiter. But Corniel has started in six of his seven games in the minors this year and could directly replace Leiter or pitch bulk relief alongside Quantrill out of the Rangers bullpen. Next, catcher Liam Hicks was placed on the 10-day IL with a strained lower back. Hicks is likely to avoid an extended absence with this injury, but with Hicks out, catcher Brian Navarrete, who was selected from the minors in a corresponding move, will be on the short side of a catching platoon with Joe Mack. And lastly, reliever Blaise Castaño was placed on the 15-day IL with a pectoral strain. He's a low-leverage reliever for the Rockies, and reliever John Brebbia was selected from the minors in a corresponding move. In terms of transactions, designated hitter Miguel Andujar was activated from the 10-day IL after missing a couple of weeks with a hamstring strain. Andujar returned to the short side of a DH platoon with Will Wagner, who will be on the strong side, and Nick Solak was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. Next, starting pitcher Elmer Rodriguez was recalled for the minors to start for the Yankees versus the Reds. He tossed four innings, allowing four hits and three earned runs, walking two while fanning four. He induced eight whiffs with 26% CSW across 80 pitches. And Rodriguez hasn't looked major league caliber in four starts this year in his rookie campaign, as he's failed to complete five frames in any of those four starts. This was merely a spot start for Elmer Rodriguez, and he's expected to be optioned back to the minors today. Reliever Jake Bird was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move to Rodriguez's recall. And next, in other Yankees news, catcher Austin Wells was activated from the 10-day IL after missing a few weeks with cervical headaches. He will return to being the Yankees' everyday catcher, pushing catcher Ali Sanchez to the bench in a backup role and sending catcher J.C. Ascara to the minors. Next, outfielder Griffin Conine was activated from the 60-day IL after missing more than 2 months with a hamstring tear that required surgery. Conine started in right field in return, shifting Owen Casey to the DH role. I'd expect Conine to see more time in the DH role, but regardless, he's going to see most of his time versus right-handed pitching. First baseman Christopher Morel was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. Next, starting pitcher Jose Cabrera had his contract selected from the minors by the Diamondbacks to make his MLB debut versus the Twins. He tossed five shutout innings, allowing three hits with no walks and three strikeouts, inducing 11 whiffs with 29% CSW across 62 pitches. Cabrera kept batters off balance with a deep repertoire led by cutters that were either very inconsistent or had a slower gyro slider variant that wasn't picked up by StatCast. Cabrera paired that cutter with two breakers, a sweeper and a curveball, two fastballs, a four-seamer and a sinker, as well as a handful of changeups. And none of his pitches stand out as electric, but he exhibited pretty solid command and has been a control artist during his time in the minors, which would likely give him a high floor and a low ceiling that's not worth chasing, especially given the inherent shag rug that his rookie status comes with. He'll get the Rays in Tampa Bay next, and it's not a start that I'm going to be going for, especially in standard leagues. Reliever Yelber Diaz was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. And in terms of news, starting pitcher Shane Bieber is expected to be activated from the 60-day IL to make his season debut today versus the Astros. Bieber has been out all season with elbow inflammation. He's worked up to 5 innings in each of his last 2 rehab starts. The second one wasn't very pretty, so I'd be a little bit wary of him here against the Astros, but not too wary as it's Shane Bieber. I think we can trust him to be at least pretty solid in the majors. To joining him in a return to the majors, starting pitcher Brandon Woodruff is expected to be activated from the 15-day IL today to start in Cincinnati. He has been out for a month and a half with shoulder inflammation. He worked up to 5 1/3 innings in his final rehab start, so he should be good to at least qualify for a win, but this might be one to avoid a little bit in Great American Ballpark as he's in his still ill outing returning from the IL. And lastly, starting pitcher Tyler Molly is expected to be activated from the 15-day IL on Wednesday to start versus the A's. Molly has been out for nearly a month with a strained hamstring, and he's really struggled this year, so that's not a start that I'll be circling. Now we can take a look at our notable performances from Sunday, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. We had a semi-full slate of 14 games as the matchup between the Blue Jays and Cubs was postponed due to inclement weather. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with designated hitter Kyle Schwarber, who helped the Phillies to win against the Mets, going 1-for-3 with 2 runs, a home run, 3 runs batted in, and a walk. It was his 29th home run of the year, and it traveled 418 feet at 105 miles per hour. And it was Schwarber's 29th and MLB leading 29th home run of the year, as Schwarber has been the best hitter in baseball at sending baseballs over the wall. Next, designated hitter Yordan Alvarez went 1-for-2 with 2 runs, a home run, an RBI, and 2 walks as he helped the Astros to win against the Guardians. It was his 25th homer of the year, and it traveled 407 feet at 107 miles per hour. Alvarez does not lead baseball in home runs, obviously, but he does lead the American League with those 25 homers. He does, however, lead baseball with his 1,068 OPS. So incredible season from Yordan Alvarez. This season continues. Next, we have outfielder Jack Caglione, who did all he could, but the Royals lost versus the Cardinals. He went 2-for-3 with 3 runs, 2 home runs, 3 runs batted in, and 2 walks for good measure. He's up to 12 homers now. First one went 444 feet at 108 miles per hour, and the second one went 426 feet at also 108 miles per hour. And Caglione's absolutely turned it on in June, batting 379 with 7 homers and a 228 WRC+. The only notable change has been a massive decrease in his ground ball rate, which allows him to tap into his power. But really what's happening is that all the poor luck that Caglione has faced during the outset of his career is finally coming to an end. He has some of the best batted ball metrics in baseball, and they're finally manifesting in the form of on-field production and a lot of home runs. Caglione has a 98th percentile hard hit rate. He has a 98th percentile max exit velocity, a 96th percentile average exit velocity, a 96th percentile bat speed, and a 91st percentile barrel weight. A lot of those things are measuring the same thing, but they all tell us that Caglione hits the ball harder than just about anyone, and he has some of the highest power potential in all of baseball. And I'd expect Caglione to be an incredible hitter the rest of the way, as long as he mitigates the strikeouts. Kudos to everyone who hung on during the early season struggles. Now Caglione is batting third for the Royals and is looking like the prospect that we dreamed on. Lastly, second baseman J.J. Weatherholt on the other side of that game helped the Cardinals to win in Kansas City, going 3-for-5 with 3 runs, 2 home runs, and 3 runs batted in. He's up to 12 home runs on the year now. The first one was a leadoff home run to open the ball game. It was not tracked by StatCast, which is weird, but the second one went 360 feet at 94 miles per hour. And after an incredible start to his career that saw Weatherholt belt 7 homers with a 142 WRC+ in March and April, he rightfully cooled down in May as he faced his major league adjustment period, which pretty much every successful rookie goes through. But he had a 91 WRC+ last month with just 2 home runs, but Weatherholt has made the right adjustments and he's gotten back on track in June, batting 333 with a trio of dingers and a 157 WRC+, reaching a higher offensive ceiling and creating a more stable floor by cutting his strikeout rate by 10%, leading to more walks and strikeouts. 7.5% strikeout rate for Weatherholt in June after striking out 17.5% of the time from March through May. Weatherholt is legit, y'all. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Sunday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now I'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Logan Gilbert, who helped the Mariners to win against the Red Sox, tossing 6 3rd innings, allowing 3 hits and 2 earned runs, walking 2 while fanning 8. He induced 18 whiffs with 35% CSW across 94 pitches, and Gilbert earned the gallows pole by leading baseball with those 18 whiffs on Sunday. And after some volatility early in the season with a 4.45 ERA and a 25% strikeout rate through his first 10 starts, Gilbert's found much more consistent success across his last 6 starts, pitching to a 1.49 ERA and a 31% strikeout rate. Gilbert is an ace, and we don't have to think twice about starting him moving forward. Next, Nathan Eovaldi helped the Rangers to win against the Padres, tossing 6 innings, allowing 7 hits and 3 runs, walking 1 while striking out 9. He induced 16 whiffs with 36% CSW across 94 pitches, and he earned the King Cole by leading baseball with that 36% CSW on Sunday. Eovaldi turned in just his 4th start without serving up a home run this year, but unfortunately, his batted ball luck soured in this one, leading to a 467 BABIP that led to him allowing 3 runs scoring in the 4th inning without any balls going over the fence. He's allowed 3 runs or more in each of his last 6 starts, but I'm not worried about Eovaldi in Toronto next. Lastly, we have Robert Gasser, who helped the Brewers to win in Atlanta, tossing 6 innings, allowing 4 hits and 2 earned runs, walking 1 while fanning 7. He induced 12 whiffs with 27% CSW across 97 pitches. And outside of Vegas, Gasser has been reliable in 5 starts with a 3.24 ERA and a 23% strikeout rate. He forces batters to beat him by throwing a ton of strikes, 70% overall strike rate here from Robert Gasser. And he does a decent job of keeping sweepers in the lower half, getting cutters glove side, avoiding the heart of the zone with sinkers, and keeping four seamers upstairs. It's certainly not overwhelming, but it allows him to earn punch outs with high heaters and low sweepers while producing plenty of weak contact to avoid damage on balls in play. It's enough to make Gasser a streaming option moving forward if he sticks in the rotation with the return of Brandon Woodruff and the inevitable return of Logan Henderson. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Monday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on PitcherList.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves, starting with the former Lake Backer, recorded his first save with a hitless 9th. Pete Fairbanks was unavailable after pitching on back-to-back days. Tony Santion had a perfect 6-out save, his 5th save of the year. Chad Patrick had a 3-inning save, his 4th save of the year. Kevin Kelly recorded his 3rd save with a scoreless 9th. Brian Baker pitched a perfect 8th against the top of the order to earn his 2nd hold in that one. So Baker used more as a high leverage reliever on Sunday. Josh Hader recorded his 5th save with a perfect 9th. Jacob Junis pitched a scoreless 9th for his 5th save. Jacob Latz was unavailable after pitching on back-to-back days. Anthony Banda pitched a perfect 9th for his 2nd save. Yoandrys Gomez pitched a hitless 8th in that one against the middle of the order to earn his 6th hold. So Yoandrys Gomez used more as a high leverage reliever on Sunday. Sam Bachman pitched a perfect 9th for his 1st save, as it looks like he might be climbing that Angels bullpen ladder and landing at the very top in the closer role. And lastly, Andrés Muñoz pitched a scoreless 9th for his 13th save. And in terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Sir Anthony Dominguez allowed a run to blow his 4th save. The White Sox would go on to lose that game in 10 innings. Riley O'Brien pitched the 9th up by 4 and served up a 2-run shot. He had it pitched since last Tuesday, so this was a maintenance outing for Riley O'Brien. Gregory Soto also allowed 2 runs, only one of which was earned as he pitched the 9th up by 4. He also had it pitched since last Tuesday, and this was a maintenance outing for Gregory Soto. Elvis Alvarado served up a 2-run homer in the 9th while attempting to maintain a tie game across 5 outs. He failed to do so and was tagged with his 2nd loss. And lastly, Yoan Duran pitched a scoreless 9th with 3 strikeouts up by 4. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before I look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Monday, June 22nd, a day in which we'll have just 13 games on our slate. My matchup of the day is Hunter Brown versus Shane Bieber. We talked about Bieber. He's returning from the IL to make his season debut. I'm excited to see how he looks in that one. And we're getting the 2nd start from Hunter Brown. Hopefully he can extend further in this start as this is his 2nd start back from a very lengthy IL stint. So could be an interesting matchup as we see what these guys may be able to do the rest of the season. Hunter Brown versus Shane Bieber. In terms of probable starters, we've got three guys in the auto starters tier, including Hunter Brown. We've also got Drew Rasmussen versus the Royals and Gerrit Cole in Detroit. Our probably starts tier has three guys, and our questionable starts tier has nine, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day, and it's a big Shane Bieber podcast, as Shane Bieber is our streamer of the day versus the Astros. He's rostered in very few leagues, and I think he's somebody who should ultimately be rostered everywhere. Definitely go pick him up now, and I think he's pretty safe to stream here. It's you got this still ill with it, but he's looked solid in his minor league rehab appearances, and he's pitched enough innings to suggest that he's not going to be limited too much in his season debut. I'd also keep an eye out for Andre Piante versus the Diamondbacks. He's been very solid recently. His slider's really good. He does a decent job of commanding sinkers and cut four seamers to lefties, sinkers to righties. And Piante's been on a pretty decent hot streak, and that Diamondbacks lineup isn't too frightening. In terms of hitter suggestions, I'd look at Astros hitters versus Shane Bieber in Rogers Center. This is Bieber's return from the IL, so it's possible you maybe want to take the chance and hedge your bets and go for Astros hitters against Bieber. And hopefully, if he doesn't pitch well, at least you've got the hitters that are going to do well against him. I also target Cubs hitters versus Kodai Senga in Citi Field. The Kodai Senga has a 9 ERA on the season, so Cubs hitters could take advantage of that. I'd also look at Brewers and Reds hitters in Great American Ballpark, one of the best hitters parks in baseball. We'll see Brandon Woodruff square off against Brady Singer. Woodruff obviously returning from the IL, not the best opportunity for him as a pitcher, whereas Brady Singer has a 5.32 ERA, so we could see some fireworks in Cincinnati. And lastly, I'd look at Red Sox and Rockies hitters in Coors. Pretty self-explanatory. We'll see Jake Bennett square off against Ryan Feltner in that one. And now we can close things out with our relievers to watch. Yoenis Gomez has pitched on back-to-back days, but so has Anthony Bonda. So we could see Andrew Morris, Travis Adams, or Taylor Rogers get a save opportunity for the Twins on Monday. They all have two saves this season. And lastly, Yoan Duran has pitched on back-to-back days, so Orion Kerkering or Jose Alvarado will be the go-to option for a save for the Phillies on Monday. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SB streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.